Hi, you're listening to Listed by Mina Cooper. We're about real estate, trust, probate, divorce, and more. 98.1 FM, 1220 AM. You can also catch us on the KHTS Hometown Station page on Facebook. If you don't have Facebook, you can also watch us on the KHTS radio app. And super excited. We just launched our new division at Keller Williams, Trust, Probate, Divorce Division, and it's going to be awesome. It's going to be a hub for everyone to come to figure out what to do and how to do it. Knowing some great professionals that we know, I have Richard Wong from Viridian Mortgage on the phone. He's a principal and a broker, and he just is amazing with mortgage products. And I want to say, Richard, how are you today?
I'm great, Nina. Thank you so much for having me on your show again.
Of course, of course. You know, especially now that things have changed, and as life does always, you know, it's great information that you come to us today. You know, I want to know, first of all, I'm super excited. You touched a little bit about a new platform that you're rolling out. Can you tell us about that? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sure. We can definitely start with the good news. As you say, life happened, and life has certainly happened in 2022 as far as lending goes. But my office, Viridian Mortgage, we're really excited to be launching a structured service platform that is actually based on the Disney Institute. So the partners and I, we trained through this program to really look at where all the gaps are in customer service. And there certainly are stereotypes, you know, as well as anybody in lending, and it usually boils down to lack of communication, lack of transparency, all those important items. And we just looked at it and analyzed all the customer touch points within a typical mortgage transaction, whether it's a purchase or a refinance, and kind of distilled it down to about 12 different points typically, where we can change it to invoke a positive customer experience. Like a neutral customer experience is one in which everything goes as smoothly and as planned, but the customer doesn't really notice anything. And we wanted to just kind of up our game and make it a positive experience, one that which the customer feels compelled to start talking about it. So as an example, you're probably wondering, throughout the transaction, there's a lot of points where there's potential confusion. There's a lot of numbers going around. There's a lot of different processes that if you're not in the industry, it's terribly confusing. And so we leverage technology by doing short videos, by doing a lot of explanations. We have a knowledge library. I mean, if you think about it, how many issues are there in a single purchase transaction, especially for first-time home buyers? There's a discussion on down payment. There's discussion on when to remove contingencies or even what a contingency is. There are questions about property tax, closing costs, rate locking, how that works, how to title your asset, of course, how to take title. The whole appraisal process has been very convoluted the last few years. And we do a video on that. So a lot of it is, leveraging technology and based on questions that we've always received in the past, and now that we're anticipating them to answer them before they're even asked. And videos are fantastic because the borrower can rewatch them. They can rewind if they didn't understand a point the first time, until they achieve a mastery understanding of whatever topic or subtopic we send them in the video. So we're really excited about that. It launches next Tuesday, September 27th.
Hey, I think that's awesome because, you know, it's so much information and it's so good to have this in front of you. So when you speak to people, they understand everything and they get the drift of how it works. And that's so, so important for the consumer. And I'm super excited. Can't wait to see it. Maybe we'll have a secret launch party.
maybe. It'll be a work in progress because
I'm party.
Yeah. You know, everybody learns in different ways. So a video might work for somebody, but then for somebody else, it might be a long, detailed email. So we just attack on all fronts by land, sea, and air. And no matter which way you learn, there's always going to be an opportunity to be able to absorb it.
Yes, yes. So let's talk about something that may not be so desirable for people when they're purchasing. But, before the 2% thing happened, rates were 4 or 5%, whatever. Let's talk about the federal funds rate. What's happening there?
Sure. So the latest meeting, which ended yesterday, resulted in the Federal Reserve raising short-term interest rates by another 75 basis points. So what does that mean? The federal funds rate is the cost that banks charge each other for short-term overnight loans. It is a benchmark for the industry. It is not a direct correlation to longer-term debt, which would be mortgage loans. A more accurate benchmark would be the 10-year note, but even that is not always correlated perfectly. So the Fed increased it by 75 basis points to 3.25%. That is the target rate. And so that means for a lot of homeowners who have home equity lines of credit, for consumers who leverage credit card debt, all those are based on the prime rate, which is the rate that banks charge their best customers, and it moves in lockstep with the federal funds rate. So when the federal funds went up to 3.25 yesterday, the prime rate went up to 6.25. And so that sounds like a really hefty number, and it is only because it wasn't that long ago that we were at 3.25, and that was at the beginning of the year. So it's essentially doubled since the beginning of the year. So the shock of that hasn't quite hit the consumer population yet, but it will. and so everyone's going to have to feel the pain for a short while. But the whole goal is to really just to contain inflation.
Right. I mean, the whole thing is it's somewhat of an inverse relationship, right? Rates go up and the prices come down a bit. Typically, that's historically been the thing. And the good thing is you can go put your money in CDs again and offset that. So, I mean, there's always an antidote for most things. But, one goes up, must come down. And it's the same thing. Usually, like I said, they have an inverse relationship. So if you go to sell your property, you may be getting a little less money for it. But then if you go buy a property, you're probably going to pay a little less. So somehow it balances, right? I mean, it really does. It just kind of needs time to adjust, right?
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah, right?
There's so many factors in the economy. I mean, interest rates do not move in isolation. And there are compensating factors when they move up. And they move up for a reason.
Exactly. That's exactly right. So not a bad thing, guys. Let's talk about the economy a little bit. What are you seeing on your end, because you're involved in that world, the numbers world? What are you seeing in the economy in general?
Well, the big news has always been, this year, and especially recently, has been inflation. And last week, there were the Consumer Price Index and the Producer Price Index came out, and it increased more than expected. But I think the real story was that the core rate, and I won't geek out too much here, but basically the core rate, which does not include food and energy and oil prices, increased by even more, 0.6%, which was double than what was expected. So the bottom line is that inflation is still front and center for the Fed, which is why they decided to increase it 75 basis points. There was some debate whether they would do 50 or 75 this time, but because of those reports, they decided to go to 75 basis points. And that, and interest rates moved. It has topped 6% for the average 30-year fixed for as of last week. And
there are other vehicles if you don't want a 30-year range.
Sure, there are. But all those move in conjunction as well. So the best hybrid adjustable programs we're seeing are about a quarter or 3/8% lower than the 30-year fix. So everything, no matter what program you're in, it's still at the high point for 2022.
Mm-hmm. did you foresee it, or your opinion? It'll go down a little bit.
In the short term, if anybody ever tells you which direction it's going, take it with a grain of salt. It's always going to be pretty speculative. Yeah, I do think a lot of analysts believe that in the next 12 to 18 months, there will be a significant dip in interest rates. But when that will happen, it's really anybody's guess. As of now, we're doing things like revamping our service platform because there is time when there's no volume.
Yeah.
And as far as the volume, purchases are down about 29% year over year. This is nationwide. And refinances are down 83%. 83% year to year. So if you know your local lender, if you have a lending relationship, if you don't have a loan to refer to them, you can at least give them a hug because it's been a tough year in 2022 compared to last year.
You know, or they can consult with you, right, Richard, and get the real deal because you know the real deal. You know every angle. You're also an attorney, and so you know how to study things. So, you know, on a good note, what are the new conforming loan limits?
Yes. Kind of overshadowed by all that inflation news was the fact that the conforming loan limits increased a little earlier than expected this year, where the nationwide limit is now $715,000. That's up from $649,000. And in the high-cost areas, which is L.A. County, Orange County, it went up to $1.07 million. So it's the first time it broke the million-dollar mark. So what does that mean? That means that any loan at $1.07 in L.A. County or less is eligible for Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac agency guidelines, which tend to be more predictable. They are a little bit easier to underwrite, so loans will be able to typically go faster, and the pricing is generally more competitive. So you, whenever possible, we try to structure loans within that conforming loan range.
Got it. And do you have, like, any cool programs, like No Money Down? No, someone asked me, and I didn't know. I was going to ask you. Are there any animals like that out there?
Yeah, we always have No Money Down for VA borrowers, veterans, and there are some Zero Money Down programs for even for your primary residence loans if you can qualify with FICO and assets. Sorry, I couldn't think of the word.
Right.
One program where we're getting a lot of inquiries right now are the buy-down programs, and that's where...
When you're selling a house, right?
Yeah, I mean, first-time home buyers, especially now that rates are up, are looking at what we call payment shock. So whether they're renting or living at mom's house or sharing housing expenses, they now have to swallow a much bigger housing payment, including property tax and insurance. So one way to kind of alleviate that and smooth out the transition into that full payment is to do what's called a rate buy-down. And so it's essentially a credit. The credit can come from the lender, it can come from the seller, but the credit is used to reduce the interest rate by 2% in the first year, and then by 1% in the second year. And then by year three, they will be responsible for the entire payment. But it's a great way to really just kind of ease into home ownership and not have to pay that full mortgage payment from day one.
Yeah, that's great. And, you know, for me as a realtor, I can give up to $6,000 in non-recurring closing costs to help move things along, which is super things that I have in my pocket that I could do to help people purchase a property and not feel the pain as much and help it along. So, you know, I think that's really so many, you know, when you deal with people like us who've been in the business for so long, we always have ways of doing things and working it out so that, you know, you can still get in the game and, you know, be able to move forward with what you need because you know, the rents are high. I mean, look at the rents in California. They're outrageous.
Extraordinarily high, yeah. So that and, a credit like the $6,000 that you just mentioned, it can be used for a buy-down. So instead of just at closing, there's just a lot of big numbers going back and forth. They don't really get to feel and enjoy that $6,000, but instead you can use it to buy down the rate, in which case they will enjoy it through 1 or 2 years of reduced cash flow.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, when we, you know, as realtors have the ability to do that, it certainly helps, especially first-time home buyers. Or if you're buying and selling, you can do it on both ends to help out and give back to your clients, which I like to do. You know, I'm all about the experience, and, you know, having you as a mortgage person is super helpful because you're always available to talk to people. You know, a lot of mortgage people just say, like, oh, fill this out. You know, they don't even talk to the people. I'm like, aren't you going to talk to them and tell them hello? I mean, aren't you going to, like,
that would help.
Before they start giving you their information about their firstborn and then their social, you know, it's funny. You know, it'd be a little personal, right?
Sure.
But I love that you are. You're professional, you're personal, you've got it going on. Richard Wong from Meridian Mortgage. I love it.
Thanks. I've been in this business a long time, and if there's one golden rule, is that it is a relationship business.
Yeah.
And no matter how much technology has evolved, I think it will always, at its core, be relational.
Yeah. And what's a great way for people, of course, they can loop back into our Facebook page on KHTS Radio Facebook page or KHTS Radio app if you don't use Facebook and find us because we're always going to be there. They never take us off. But what's a good way for people to reach you?
I give out my cell phone to everybody, so that is the best way to reach me. It's 408-828-5609. Text or call is okay.
Okay. Do you want to repeat that one more time?
Yeah, 408-828-5609.
Okay. Well, Richard, thank you so much. I look forward to doing more together and seeing how everything rolls out in 2022, right? And
absolutely.
The end of 2022 and the new beginnings of 2023. And, you know, let's make life fun. You know, let's have fun with this. That's what I say.
Thank you so much for having me again, Mina. I really appreciate it.
Welcome. It's always a pleasure of mine. Thank you for listening to Listed by Mina Cooper. We are back on the air after our break with a new guest. You're listening to 98.1 FM, 1220 AM. You can also find us on the Facebook page, KHTS Hometown Station page, and listen to our shows there. Also, you can download the app, KHTS Radio, if you have neither of the above, radio or Facebook. We have an app. You have a phone. Anyway, I'm really excited about our next guest. He's really fascinating, and he's just so on everything. He can pretty much get anyone insurance. So, you know, because there are things that go on, especially in California, that have some challenges and with properties and things like that. But Gannon Laidlaw from Jaffe Insurance is with us today, and Gannon is just amazing. What he can do. He gets to it and gets what he needs done. Gannon, first of all, I want to say hi. Thank you for joining
us. Hi, Mina. Yeah, thank you for having me on. It's a pleasure.
Yeah. So tell the audience, not me, because I know. tell everyone, who are you and what do you do?
Yeah, definitely. So as Mina said, my name is Gannon Laidlaw. I'm a property and casualty insurance producer at Jaffe Insurance Agency for both commercial and personal lines insurance. So to those of you who don't know what that means, it's basically I'm an insurance guy for home, auto, and business. Our agency does life and health well as well, but I don't do that. And I've been doing this for a little over 6 years. The agency's family-owned. It was founded in 1948 by my fiance's grandfather, and it's currently on the fourth generation of family members joining the business.
Wow.
So it's great agency to work at.
And then you're going to pass on to the little Laidlaws that you're going to make.
Yeah, Laidlaws and Jaffies. It's on both sides.
And Jaffies, right. it's going to be a long, long line.
Exactly.
So you're native to California, but you grew up in Northern California, right?
Yeah, definitely. So I was born and raised in a little town in the Napa Valley called Pope Valley. It's a very small part of the Napa Valley up in the most northern part on the border of Lake and Napa County. And I was very familiar with wildfires growing up. I mean, it was like an every year occurrence where we had to evacuate, and it was a miserable experience as a kid. And so that's kind of where I got my interest in insurance, right? So, you know, protecting assets and things like that. I was also a football player for a little while. I played Division I college football, and I was an offensive tackle. So when I made the transition into insurance, I thought, you know, just like I protected the quarterback, I could protect people's assets through the means of insurance.
Love it, love it. And, you know, so, you know, the show obviously is about real estate, trust, probate, divorce, and all that stuff.
Exactly.
And insurance is a big part of it because, you know, you need insurance. Insurance,
of course.
Insurance. Even when I was a young kid, my dog had dog insurance. You know, I didn't have a lot of money, but even my dog had insurance. Because I've seen people who did not have insurance, and it was not pretty. That is something you should not skimp on. And I know we talked a little bit about your personal experience with estate planning and trust.
Yeah.
You know, and of course, you know, people sometimes they get of age or things happen, and they let their insurance lapse. And sometimes there's no Indian chief to make sure that's not happening, but you need authority to make sure it's still going or pick up the pieces, and that's why all this is so important. So tell us, you know, a little bit about your grandparents' assets and were they insured correctly. We touched a little bit about it, and I thought it was pretty interesting.
Yeah, definitely. So unfortunately, you know, about 10 months ago, my grandpa had reached out to me and just let me know that basically he couldn't take care of my grandmother anymore. You know, she was, her dementia was progressing to a certain stage where it was just impossible for him to take care of her. So what we did was we first spoke with everybody that we could find and gather up, and we gathered a bunch of information, and we hired an estate planning lawyer who did a phenomenal job basically explaining and breaking down what assets needed to go where to get care established for her. And so, luckily enough, I'm an insurance professional, and I've had some experience with insuring assets and things of that nature. So, but first and foremost, for those of you who aren't insurance brokers, it's really important to find a trustworthy agent who can help you review the exposures at hand for the various assets you're trying to insure. They're usually in the form of liability and property for insurance purposes, but it's very important because a lot of insurance brokers will look at a risk and they just try to quote it as quickly as they can and push it out to the client and sell the policy. That's not something I like to do. I like to be very thorough with that. So, of course, I was thorough with my own grandparents and their assets. And so I took a look at their homeowner's policy. And the first thing that I had noticed is that the revocable trust that was already in place, which the home, that the title of the home was in the revocable trust, wasn't even on their insurance policy. So that right there was already a huge red flag because, you know, if there's any type of bodily injury or property damage claim that falls upon the trust itself, there's no insurance for that, right? Because the trust was not listed as a name insured on the policy. So that's something that I noticed that was, you know, it's one of the most basic parts of insurance, you know, who is the named insured and who reaps the benefits of an insurance policy. But it's also sometimes the most overlooked, right?
Right.
Because we think, okay, you know, the person who owns the home or says they own the home, that's the person who's on the title. It's, that's not always the case, right? You want to make sure that if something does happen to the home, that it is in the correct named insured position. That way, when something happens, the correct people or correct assets are protected and paid out appropriately.
Right. And that is so important because I see so many things that have slipped through the hole somehow. Either there's a trust or something, but then the house is not in the trust and the insurance is not properly placed, then guess what? You've exposed yourself to liability for, God forbid, someone suing you and taking everything you have.
Mm-hmm.
That is something I've seen. And
exactly.
Things, you know, when I take on a property, you know, whether it's probate or, you know, anything of that nature, before people walk through that house, and sometimes in probate, inherited property situation, there's a lot of things that have not been maintained. And anyone can fall and hurt themselves.
Yep.
And, you know, me as a professional doing trust probate, I want to make sure, I always, my first thing, which I've had people say, no realtor ever asked us about that, and they've bought and sold properties in the past and things like that. But for some reason, they're like, wow, you're really thorough. I said, you know, I said, if I take someone down this path or another realtor walks into this place and you have this gaping hole in the backyard that is just right in the middle of the pathway and someone falls and breaks their hip and you don't have insurance, you can pretty much say goodbye to a lot of that house.
I said, oh, exactly.
You don't have insurance. I said, and that is something that we must protect. And as, you know, real estate professional, unfortunately, some real estate professionals don't know how important this is and don't think about it, just the way they don't think about who's in the insurance and that the trust is in the insurance. Because people don't go that far. We just want insurance, you're going to get insurance. But they don't have the insurance, right?
Exactly.
Why do you have insurance? And that party starts right there. And it is just so amazing because, you know, historically insurance companies try not to pay, right? That's why they have so much money. And you being the insurance person that you are, you make sure that's not going to happen.
No, exactly. And unfortunately, most people believe that insurance should be cheap and easy, and I do understand that because the current marketing tactics around insurance attribute to that ideology. You know, it should be quick, it should be easy. You know, you put in two pieces of information and bam, there you go, you have your quote.
I go online and you're done. Right.
Exactly, but that's not always the case, and I've run across a lot of clients who have had policies like that, and then they come over to us, you know, somebody who really is thorough with wanting to know where their assets stand and how to write the policy appropriately and to make sure we meet their needs, and they say, you know, I wish we would have gone to you in the first place, and we wouldn't have had that denied claim or something like that, you know? Quality brokers and agents will take the time to review your insurance portfolio and obtain the proper quoting information and ask a lot of questions at that. Insurance is not easy. You know, it shouldn't be that quick and fast. You know, you should have some type of expeditious service, but in the same token, you also want to make sure that the policy and the policy is thorough, right? So you want to make sure that the whole progress going through getting the quote is thorough, and you check off all the boxes.
And when is it that you need an umbrella policy? Because, you know, people have assets and accounts besides the house.
Yeah, definitely. So that's funny. I get that question a lot. Usually the first thing a new business client comes to me and says, I just want an umbrella policy, right? Just write me an umbrella policy. And so first I realized there's some type of definition there that they have that's different from what the insurance carriers have, right?
Okay.
So with an umbrella, it's very important if you have a certain amount of assets, I always say it's important to have the same limit of liability on your insurance policies that either match your assets or even extend 5 to 7 years to what you could make in the future, right? So the umbrella comes into play where, you know, say you have your auto insurance policy and you have your homeowner's insurance policy. They both have liability on them, right? The umbrella provides additional liability if those primary limits are exhausted in the event of a claim. So, say, for example, somebody trips and falls on a property, somebody has only, you know, $500,000 in primary liability insurance, but the person is sued for $1.5 million. If you have a $1 million umbrella policy, that's where the umbrella policy kicks in. It's there to back up that primary liability limit that's on the homeowner's or auto policy.
Because they can go in, you know, even if they collected the insurance, if there's more damage, they can go after your property also, right? If they don't
exactly. Have yes, and that's why it's essential to make sure that. And this has been common up in Napa even. So, like, when I was reviewing my grandparents' policy, their mm-hmm. liability limit was so low, and the properties in Napa have gone up in value so much.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, if somebody were to sue them, their house is already worth way more these days, and mm-hmm. they need a liability limit that can back that up, to back that asset up.
For sure, because it's not much, and people sue until they get what they want, and sometimes something bad happens, really bad, and you know, unforeseen circumstances, but why leave yourself exposed like that?
Yes, exactly. So it's always important to consider an umbrella policy. They're usually fairly inexpensive unless you do have young drivers or older drivers on the policy, or if you do have a bad driving record or something like that, that's when the umbrella policies can go up, but most of them are fairly affordable to add, you know, an additional $1 or $2 billion in liability coverage.
Right, and not that expensive. I mean, like, you have no choice, you know, and you don't want to wing it. You know?
True, exactly. I always talk about premium because that always seems to be the number one topic, but I like the way you think. You know, you want to make sure you're covered, right? So,
yeah,
you want to get that extra liability, so in the event that you are sued, you don't have to worry about it. You have an insurance policy that will protect your assets.
Yeah, exactly. And I know, you know, people, you know, either before they move to California or they're in California and they're always wondering, can I not get insurance because I'm in a fire zone? Because there was this big announcement made, what was it, a year ago, when there were a lot of fires all at one time.
Mm-hmm.
Not that there's always historically been a lot of fires, but for some reason it may have been more than usual. And then they all rolled out on the news saying, oh my God, you can't get insurance. You can't get insurance. And everybody freaked out, right?
Exactly.
But that's
So it depends. Okay. So usually, the insurance carriers, they will always use a wildfire rating system, right? And those mm-hmm. third-party rating systems are becoming more restrictive. So that's basically the insurance company types in an address and looks it up on this rating system, and they're given a wildfire score for that specific property. Brush areas are almost always a no in California these days. If you have brush anywhere near your home, you are likely not going to be able to find insurance in the standard market. So that's where it is important to find an agent that has knowledge of wildfire. I mean, most agents probably do in California, but they have the knowledge to put together a portfolio that fits what you want to be covered for. And it often always involves a California FAIR Plan policy, which is that government-mandated insurance program. It's also called the insurance of last resort and is often the only option for many California homeowners, even business owners.
Interesting. And that's so
yeah.
good to know, because a lot of people just cookie cutter. You know, they don't go into, just like, you know, any plan, right? It has to be very detailed. This is not a joke. This is something potentially you worked for your whole life.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to skim on it, because I think if you ask 20% of the population at least, what they have, they
mm-hmm.
won't know. They'll say they have everything, and they don't know what that means.
Exactly.
Right.
That is very true. And
that's
really unfortunate, you know. It's unfortunate that that's the way things work, but that's why it's important to really review those insurance policies and make sure that you're being covered properly, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I looked at policies that were in place on some of these probate or inherited properties. And that was so outdated. The house is not $300,000 anymore. It's $3 million.
Yes. That's a very important point to make.
Before anyone walks in here, you know.
Yes, exactly.
We need that kind of thing going on. This is not okay.
Yeah, and so that we can tie that into actually wildfires also, but a lot of homes that have been in families for generations, everything is more expensive now. So your limits should reflect what the market value is now, or not market value, but replacement cost value is now, rather than what it was 10, 20, and sometimes 30 years ago, right? So it's important to make sure that those limits are up to date, so that if something does happen, you can get the money that you need to rebuild. And then when you tie that into the wildfire factor, you want to make sure that, I mean, even with wildfires, you want to make sure that that limit is also there. So
that's exactly right. So we're going to be taking a break, Dan, and don't go anywhere.
Okay. Okay.
Because I know it's commercial time, and I won't sing because people will tune out, but we will have the real commercials come on, and then we'll be back. Hi, thanks for joining us again. Listed by Mina Cooper Show about real estate, trust, probate, divorce, and more. I have some great professionals, and we're back here with Gannon Laidlaw, and we were talking about fires, and want to talk a little bit more about that, because that is very important, especially when you live in California. Gannon, thanks for being back with us.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Tell us a little more. Tell us a little more about the fire.
So, yeah, I wanted to provide a little bit of a recommendation. It's a recent program that has actually come out in California. It was set up by IBHS, which is the Insurance Institute for Business and Home Safety, and they basically created the first wildfire mitigation designation program for California residents. So what that is if you follow their guidelines, it's a wildfire preparedness guideline that tells you the different types of construction that homes need to have in order to mitigate wildfire risk. So their program is backed by decades of research. It's actually kind of interesting if you look at their videos that they have. They build various types of homes. And you would see these homes throughout California, different construction types, with different landscaping and things of that nature. And they place them in this controlled, simulated environment, and basically they set them on fire.
Goodness.
Yeah, they set them on fire. And the videos are very interesting because they're very revealing, because it shows, you know, given a certain type of construction, given a certain type of landscaping, or defensible space, it shows how resilient certain homes are against wildfires. So, like I said, they mainly look at the three topics, which is defensible space, roof, and building features, so like the siding of the home, and they see what combinations and what circumstances are best to defend against wildfires. And they've created this program for California residents. And I have a feeling that insurance companies are eventually going to want to see homeowners have this designation to get a standard insurance policy. It's not there yet, but I have a feeling it's going to get there. It's a very new program, and it's something to look at if you're a California homeowner and have any wildfire concern whatsoever.
And that makes sense. I mean, you know, I think it'll help evaluate things a lot better.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, Gannon, what's a great way for people to reach out to you? You know, I think, you know, everybody, have someone review your insurance policies. Because,
definitely.
And, you know, unfortunately, they find out the bad news when something happens. Not a good time. Right?
No, it's so, not a good time to review when something happens.
That's right. It will not make you happy. So, I think that updating and looking at your insurance policy. A lot of people have used the same insurance person for a long time, which is great, but definitely have another set of eyeballs on it because it's so important. What's a great way for people to reach you?
Yeah, definitely. So, like I said, Jaffe Insurance Agency, you can look up our website. It's jaffeinsurance.com, and that's spelled J-A-F-F-E, and that's F as in Frank. Our office phone number is going to be 310-827-5050. You can give us a call, and we'd all be willing to help you with open arms. And if you want to send us an email, that's fine, too. My email directly is going to be gannon@jaffeinsurance.com, and my name is spelled G-A-N-N-O-N, and then, again, that's at jaffeinsurance.com.
And also, you can swing back either on the app. You can call me at 310-345-8500, or you can go on the Facebook KHTS Hometown Station page, and this show will be on there. You can ask questions, you can comment, you can call. If you're driving, don't do anything, don't write it down. Just reach out to us or reach out to the station or go on to the app or the Hometown Station page on Facebook to get our information. And certainly Gannon is a world of knowledge, and I know too many people that have lost homes and could not recover their money because they didn't have good insurance. So I leave you with that. Very sad but true. And these people
very
have many questions. They're very sad but true. So again, please reach out to Gannon. Reach out to me with any important questions that you have revolving your life.